Everybody, welcome to the Hour of the Time. Bill's still feeling under the weather, although he is starting to get better. This is Frank, your representative from Swiss America. We're going to... Well, maybe not. We're going to go ahead and get started this evening. Had such a positive response over the past couple nights with Jeff, but you know, this evening I figured it might be better to go over some other things. And we'll see how Bill's doing next week, and we'll see what we do then. In law enforcement, there's criteria that need to be met. You've got what's referred to as reasonable suspicion, under which you can act on a very limited basis. And then you have probable cause. Those are items on which you do act. Now, contrary to what you might think, somebody walking down the middle of the street at 3 o'clock in the morning, carrying a television, there is no probable cause to do anything other than, well, there's no probable cause at all. That's reasonable suspicion. You would try to make contact. You would approach cautiously. You would investigate. You would look the situation over. Probable cause, on the other hand, with that person coming out a broken window, television in hand, is probable cause to believe that there's a serious crime being committed here. Now, Bill deals with probable cause from an information standpoint, and that's the way it should be. We don't need a bunch of rumor mongers out there and the rest of it, although we are in a period of time here where there is much reasonable suspicion with a lot of activity, and extreme caution is necessary. We've got many things that are starting to coalesce historically. Every one of them is a potential problem. On National Public Radio today, I was listening to excerpts. I had a client calling me up and holding the radio to the telephone. Listen to this. Do you believe this? Bottom line is there is an individual that claims to have infiltrated the militias. The extent of his infiltration appears to be nothing more than lurking on bulletin boards, calling around, receiving some information packets from various companies that sponsor programs like Bill's, listening to shortwave radio. This individual has gone and written a book claiming an expose, and he was on National Public Radio today making some rather pointed statements and inflammatory remarks. National Public Radio, as my understanding, is going to be running this a special for next week. You have to check with your local stations regarding that, but again, I was listening to this today. As a general rule, National Public Radio puts things out 4 to 6 weeks prior to mainstream. So what we expect to see here out of this is a full-scale attack on the militias. Now, why would that be? We can only speculate. Again, reasonable suspicion is in charge here, means extreme caution is the word. We don't want anyone to overreact to any situations that may develop, but we have it on good authority that there are situations developing, so please do not overreact to any of them. That's exactly what is wanted. With that in mind, what I'd like to do this evening is to go over some things, because it is extremely dicey out there. And the reality is as Bill's been pointing out for a long time, it is probably going to get very ugly. Exactly when, we don't know. No one can predict. We do know that this will start with a financial calamity. It needs to. the populace needs to be placed under stress and significant stress for the whole ordo ab caeo scenario to develop as they'd like. And that will take some time. And one of the ways that it will be able to be done on a large scale is through financial calamity. Last week, when I was at the bank cashing my check, I don't have a bank account. As we talked about with Jeff, there's reasons for not having that, and I don't. But I always inquire, what about the new hundreds? Have you got them yet? Well, the girl was very excited last Friday when I asked her, and she says, no, not yet, but we'll be seeing those in January. Oh, that's very interesting. I'd like to get one. Her branch manager happened to be walking by. Oh, when are we going to get the new hundreds? Oh, early in January we'll have those. Well, he'd like to get some, she points at me. Why, she asks, are you going to be traveling overseas? Ponder that for a moment. We've all been aware for a period of time of Senate Bill 307, the two-tiered monetary system, nicknamed by many the rainbow currency. It may not be rainbow. These new hundreds may be the external currency. The second question she asked, it wasn't a question that she asked, I asked the question, I would like to get those when they come out. Oh, you'll have to special order those. Those are not going to be for general circulation. That there means, to me anyways, that we're going to be facing some problems with the monetary system very early in the year. We have it on good authority that initially things will be very calm, and then things are going to get very ugly, probably 4 to 6 weeks subsequent to that. So keep that in mind. We may see things happening very early in the coming year. Now again, that'll set up a very stressful situation. You'll see a decline in the ability. There already is a massive problem. All you have to do is drive around any city, and you will see a decline in morals, a decline in attitudes, a decline in tolerance for others. That will get much worse. We all remember the LA riots. There's many that say, and with good reason, that they were instigated by government entities. If you read U.S. News and World Report, 1 year after the riot, they did an extensive article on the riot. And in that publication, they stated that it appeared that one individual started those riots. It's a very interesting article. I would encourage you to pull it out. Now, if these situations do start developing, as we talked about the past couple of nights, some serious decision-making is at hand here. Just as you don't step into sovereignty lightly, without learning extensively, without making sure it's the right thing for you to do. Many people, it's impossible. They have family, they have situations that are beyond their control that they need that assistance. And for whatever reason, you know, they've been placed in a situation, the good Lord, you know, got them there. You're just going to have to deal with that. But for others, it's a very viable option. But you still need to learn and do it properly. And it is a very serious step for your own personal freedom. And the things that I'd like to talk about tonight require some very serious thought. Because if we have situations develop, as Bill has pointed out, down the road, you need to be ready for them. And many people are not. Not only do I talk to people every day, but I'm very active here in the Arizona area. I teach people things. I show people things, explain things to people, and I've got to be honest, I am extremely disappointed at what I've seen. People want to help. They don't have the proper clothing. They haven't taken the time to get off the couch and get rid of the extra 20, 30, or 40 pounds of potato chips that they're carrying. And yet they make a lot of noise about wanting to be helpful, and they're not. These people can't even run 100 yards in sneakers and shorts, let alone hump a 70-pound ruck carrying 25 pounds on an LBE and a rifle. And yet they think they're ready for that, and they're not. What we need to really do this evening, all of us, need to look inside and see what we're made out of and how we're going to fit into this. Because not all army, not all individuals in army are that. There's many people that just need to be there for support. That decision needs to be made. Different situations need to be taken into account. Various knowledges that you have, various abilities, your locations. Some of us are stuck in cities. It's going to be difficult to get out. Your best bet is to be very low key, very low profile. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, officer. And in the meantime, you have what it needs hidden away for guys like me. They're going to do what we can to fix the problem, and there's a lot of us. You got to take personal considerations into play here. Again, the extent of your abilities, the extent of your knowledge. If you're on a learning curve, if you're getting there, continue to learn. Do not attempt to acquire things that are illegal. It's unnecessary. We've got some situations that appear to be developing in the state of Pennsylvania that, again, extreme caution is necessary. There's an individual there who's got a bigger mouth than he has a brain, and he appears to have locked himself up with some of the wrong people. And it appears he may be made an example out of. We'll know more, hopefully, next week. But in the meantime, extreme caution in that state. Don't buy things that are unnecessary. Don't buy things that'll get you on ATF's hit list. You don't need them. You don't need them. Gain knowledge. Learn how to utilize things. I have a very good friend of mine who is what you refer to as an 18 Charlie, a Special Forces engineer. Early into this, before I knew what the New World Order was, I knew there was a problem, and I started making preparations. I've done a lot of backpacking. I've been on top of mountains that you see in the television, that you see in commercials. I've been all over these United States on top of things and all over places with backpacks and ropes and the rest of it. I thought I knew what I was doing, and I did for a commercial civilian world. And what we're going to be potentially facing, that doesn't cut it. My friend who's been on overseas deployments, who's been on South American deployments, where it's for real, went through my pack and threw a whole bunch of stuff out. Said, what do you need this for? What do you need that for? And he started pointing things out to me. We want to be very low tech. You don't want a bunch of fancy things. You don't want a GPS. You don't need a GPS. GPS is two-way, people. Not only does it tell you where you are, but it tells somebody else where you are. And if they shut down the satellites, as they did during the Gulf War, your GPS won't do you any good anyhow. So that's $300 you could have spent on something else, on food, on ammunition. Ponder that. Don't waste the time. Night vision. What for? A lot of you have gone out and bought Soviet night vision. It's junk. You are illuminated more than you can illuminate other things. You are very easily seen through U.S. night vision. It's very poor. It leaks light internally. Makes your head glow. You will be seen. Get rid of it. You've wasted the money. If you're pondering purchasing it, don't. If you think things through logically, you'll be able to acquire all you need once the flag goes up without cost. Because once all bets are off, we don't have to worry about certain aspects. But until all bets are off, we do. I was approached at a gun show at one point in time. The guy was an obvious ATF agent. I let him play his game. Oh, I've been expecting this a long time. I've got a case of hand grenades. And I figured the whole thing was being taped, so I very vehemently told him what to do, and I use the F word quite frequently. I can get that way. I'm from Cleveland. It's the blue collar in me. Don't do things stupidly. Don't allow yourself to be entrapped. You do not need that kind of stuff. Now, that being said, we need to look at personal commitments, where do you stand ideologically? A lot of people, God bless them, figure they're going to get raptured out. Sorry, I don't accept that. But if that's where you're at, and that's where you want to stay, in that sheltered zone, then fine. Stay there. but don't intrude on others. If another person doesn't share that belief, allow them their personal belief system, because bottom line is somebody needs to be around to get the job done. And those people that are going to be around, that anticipate being around to get the job done, you've got some situations, you've got some serious thinking to do. Where do you draw the line in the sand? Do you fight at your doorstep? What is that going to do? Slow them down for a few hours and then you die? Or do you escape and evade? E&E. What's the upside to that? You get away to fight another day. When it really gets bad, you can disrupt. You can help to bring it down. You can hide if you're not inclined to fight. And you can take what others bring to you and help reestablish it the way it's supposed to be. If it's not in your belief system to fight, great, don't. But stay safe. Learn. Take the information you were given yesterday. Learn where things went wrong so it doesn't happen again. And we go on to family considerations. Some of us that are single, well, currently single, I've foregone an 8-year relationship because she couldn't accept what was coming. She wanted her head to stay in the sand. Now, 8 years is a long time to be with somebody and just walk away. But the reality is what good do I do you people? What good do I do my family who recognize these things if I stay with someone who just wants me to be stupid and not be a part of the solution, but be a part of the problem? I do no one any good. Again, hard choices. It's that point in time they need to be made. We've got, some of us have dependents. I don't. Others do. It's a very serious consideration. You've got your family. You love your family. What do you do? Do you leave them? Or do you stay with them to be swept up, to be placed potentially in a concentration camp? And believe me, people, they exist. I've seen them. I've been on them. I've scoped them out. They're there. We've got a real big one here in this state of Arizona. They're for real. Or do you, again, escape and evade to come back later, to link up with me and others to fix the problem and set your family free? Or do you get locked up with your family? You do them no good. You do me no good. You do your country no good. A hard choice. It needs to be thought about. Health considerations. How old are you? How much longer, realistically, do you have to go? That alone is going to dictate some actions. No one wants to die. Bottom line is, the time is coming when people are going to die. Can you do something before that happens? Can you help? What is your ability, despite your age? But it's going to be a factor in decisions that you make. Physical condition. If you're partway there, get the rest of the way there. Today I was out there with a friend of mine's son, 15 years old, who understands what's coming, who's wanting to learn everything he can so he can help reestablish. We are in these mountain parks with our rucksacks, getting our exercise, because unfortunately there's only one way to get in shape for humping a ruck, and that's to strap it on and go for it. It's like running. Doing the bicycle or the stair climber doesn't cut it. You got to get out there. You got to do it. You got to make sure it rides properly. You don't want sore spots. You do that, you don't get real far. Environmental conditions. We've got some things developing, as Bill has pointed out in the past. The chances of the things going down during a holiday are the greatest, and that is very correct. What you also have to look at is the season. Look how cold it is in a lot of places in the East and the Midwest. You take people, you deny them heat, you deny them electricity, you deny them gas. You can control a large portion of the population with far less manpower during cold and bad weather than you can during the summertime when it's warm. You take their clothing away, you take their home heating away, you take their ability to cook, and you put them in a nice warm gymnasium or stadium or warehouse or whatever. You give them a blanket, you take away their jacket, you give them some hot food. Those people are yours for a good 2 to 3 months while everything else is getting established. We've got some situations, again, that are developing. We've still got this weekend. Reasonable suspicion equates to caution, not overreaction at this juncture. But we are in, we should be in extreme caution mode. Where are you in the weather? In the you're in a temperate zone, you're in a desert zone. Where are you? Do you have the ability? If the lights go out, if the heat goes off, are you going to make it through in your own house? Do you have enough blankets? Do you have candles? Do you have this? Do you have that? If you had to walk away from your house, do you have what it takes to walk away? Not only personally and spiritually, but materially. Do you have the equipment necessary to do that? What part of the country do you live in from a terrain standpoint? Here in Arizona, it's very rugged. A lot of rocks, a lot of scrub, a lot of cactus. You can't walk on your hands. You've got to have the appropriate footwear. Do you or don't you? Sneakers aren't going to cut it. I've got a pair of $200 boots. I want to make sure I get there. If I have to, my destination is 160 miles away. If I have to walk there, I can do it. If you live in a city, plan, have your supplies, have your foodstuff, have your organization, have your whatever you need to get by, because you've got roughly in the food chain in the cities a 2-day supply. And for those of you that have been through the hurricanes or been through the earthquakes, you see how quickly the food is gone and how long it takes to be placed back. Make sure you have what you need at home to get through an extended dry spell in both food and water, and also the other niceties, like toilet paper. Unless you want to use a book, and trust me, I've done that, it's not fun. Make sure you have a lot of extra of that as well. Now, for those people that are more like I am, 36 years old, single, not going to take this lightly, what you need to be looking at from an equipment standpoint is far more than what someone else needs to look at. And trust me on this, I've talked to the professionals. My friends are professionals. They do this for a living with the military. And I've gotten the training, I've gotten the advice from the best that there is. What you need to do is you need to have what's referred to as web gear or load-bearing equipment or load-bearing vests. And what that will contain is your very important material that you should not be without. You should have water. You should have at least 2 1-quart canteens. You should have at least 4 magazine carriers. And you've got to look at your individual equipment from a weapon standpoint on there. A lot of you have the SKSs. I don't agree with it at all. If it's all you can afford, great. If you can afford better, get it. And I'll give you a recommendation on that in a little while. Get a compass. Had an interesting conversation with this young gentleman earlier today. He was asking me about the lifespan of tritium. He wanted to get a tritium compass. My big question on that is, why? It's $80. And what you got to understand is that there are satellites that track tritium. Now, what that's for is, you know, the nuclear terrorist aspect. Tritium is a component, it is an enhancing agent of a nuclear device. It's also the component that is fairly easily picked up through satellite imagery. Now, there's bunches of tritium compasses floating around out there, and they can tune those out. But the reality is after a period of time, and you're walking around the woods thinking you're safe, your tritium compass is giving you away. The other thing that will give you away are your watches. Don't have battery-operated watches. Have wind-up watches. You've got mobile phones today, little handheld portable cellular phones that do direct satellite link-ups. 22,000 miles away in geosynchronous orbit, this little handheld mobile phone is linking to a satellite. That's a two-way communication. If you're anything aware of what the satellites are capable of today, they pick up your little battery-operated wristwatches. Get rid of them. Again, not that it's a problem now, but down the road, as if it does get this bad, like some people think, and you are escaping and invading, it's going to give you away. Continuing on the equipment, you want to have a pair of small binoculars. You want to be able to enhance your vision, and best to avoid a problem and go around it and try to fight your way through it. A wise person will walk away and fight another day. You should have what's referred to as an E&E kit, escape and evasion. This should be on your web gear. You should have in that a minimum of some emergency rations. Some emergency rations that are very good are what's referred to as mainstays. You can find them in some of the catalogs. They are very high calorie. They are long-term storage, and they're not half bad. You should have a space blanket. They have several varieties. They have those ones that are extremely compact and will fit in a nice little pouch. Throw in a garbage bag, a big garbage bag. One of the biggest garbage bags you can find. If you can squeeze two in there, fold it up to do so. They make excellent sleeping bags in a pinch. They make excellent rain gear in a pinch. Low tech, improvise. Throw a wire snare in there. Who knows, you might have to eat some rats or squirrels or whatever. Get a snare, learn how to use it. Have a quality first aid kit, you know, for emergency. You'll have those things that you can take care of, blisters, cuts, scrapes, headaches. Have that on your web gear. Have a mini mag light. You can substitute a red or a green lens for the white. Okay, red will not ruin your night vision. But it will charge light-sensitive materials. My compass is a Swiss Army compass that doesn't have the tritium. It has a little glow-in-the-dark paint. You can take and I can hit it with the red, and it'll charge that up. The problem with red is it will show up in night vision devices. Okay? Now, the green lenses, you can get these things at Radio Shack. They're replacement lenses. They need to be in the light one way. So if you take your white bulb out and you put the little green or red LED in and it doesn't work, just turn it 180 degrees and it should work. Now, the green, it can't be seen by night vision devices, but it won't charge your light-sensitive materials, like your little glow-in-the-dark paints. Just some points of interest. You should have a weapons cleaning kit, either with your weapon and the buttstock attached to it in some fashion or on your web gear. A dirty gun doesn't work. Ask a Vietnam veteran who was there early in the war. Big lie about that whole Colt series of guns. They were marketed initially with a IMR propellant and is not needing as much cleaning as normally associated with ball propellants. Well, very quickly into the game, the military started using ball propellants, which gummed up the works with ill-trained soldiers early in the whole conflict. It got a very bad reputation. It's been around now for some 25 years. It's been highly refined. Many nations in the world that don't play games with their firearms use it. It's not a bad weapon system. If you can afford to get one, do so. but make sure you have a cleaning kit. Again, dirty guns don't work reliably, and you might as well have a baseball bat then. Have 550 parachute cords. There's an amazing number of things that you can improvise with 550 cord. You get as much of it as you need to. You can use it for bootlaces, you can use it for slings, you can use it for making fences. Worst case scenario, it's not recommended, but if you don't have anything else, it'll support your weight in a rappel, but you gotta be careful because if you go fast, it'll melt and you'll fall. The MREs, meals ready to eat, they get a lot of bad press, but the reality is that they've been engineered for some specific purposes. They bind you. You don't go to the bathroom very often eating MREs, and there's a reason for that. It's to keep you moving. It's to minimize things, the ability to be tracked by leaving behind certain messages. You want to break your MRE down, take it out of the pouch it comes in, get rid of some of the excess stuff, keep the high profile, the high caloric foods in your on your LBE. You want to do and perform with that. Make sure you have one. Canteen cup. It's kind of optional. It's not real necessary. But if you have one and you're in a cold environment, you will be able to heat water. All the current canteens are plastic. Don't get the metal ones. They make too much noise. They're too heavy. If you think you need to heat water up, just get one of the little canteen cups. They work very well. Now, that's your load-bearing equipment. That's the stuff that's on your body that should not leave. Okay? Now, on top of that, you will be wearing a rucksack. Now, there's several rucksacks available. Probably the best thing that you could do for yourself if you can afford it is get the CFP-90. It's a very excellent rucksack. It's an internal frame with hip. You want to have something that puts the weight on your hips. You don't want it all on your shoulders. Your shoulders aren't built to take that weight for extended periods of time. My rucksack's 70 pounds, and it ain't full yet. There's a couple things that I grab out of the fridge and throw on top of that, and it gets heavy real fast. In your rucksack, that's primarily going to be your comfort items. It's going to be spare clothing, spare socks, all your food, your heavy-duty food, the majority of it. Worst-case scenario, you want to be able to ditch your ruck and beat feet out of an area. And that's why you have on your web gear that doesn't leave your person very important materials and the E&E kit and the first aid kit. But in your rucksack, you want to make sure you have some waterproof bags. If you live in a wet environment, wet clothes can kill you. You can get hypothermia, it's all over. You'll go slow, it ain't pretty. Have a poncho liner or something equivalent. The poncho liners are very good for keeping you warm. You want to have a couple 2-quart canteens. If you're on the move, if it's gotten to that point, you're on the move, you will drink the water from the canteens in your rucksack first. The ones on your person, stay full. You'll want to have a spare set of BDUs. There's several lines of thought on that, whether you want sterile, whether you want certain camouflage patterns, because the reality is if you're wearing exactly what the Army's wearing, you might be a target to somebody else like you. But then again, if you're easily ID'd as an alternative, you're a target from somebody else's standpoint. You want to have at least 6 pair of socks. Your feet are the most important things that you have because you can't walk on your hands and you can't crawl on your hands and knees, not far. You want to make sure you take great care of your feet. You want to make sure you have plenty of dry socks and you want to make sure you have foot powder as well. Have spare t-shirts. You're going to sweat. You're going to get dirty. And what will happen is if you continue to wear dirty clothes, is that you will start to get problems with infections and other things. I can tell you a story about a man who was brought into the Coconino County Jail who had a pair of boots that he hadn't taken off in 2 weeks. We had to cut them off. You talk about toe jam. It was ugly. The pictures were taken from medical books. You want to have a medical kit, something more extensive than a first aid kit in your rucksack. If you've gotten the training and certain aspects of gunshot wounds and the rest of it, make sure you have the materials you need to treat those. Make sure you have the heavy-duty gauze bandages and the various other plastics to cover up the seal tight a chest wound so you can reinflate along. Want to have a personal hygiene kit? You gotta stay clean. You, not only from the standpoint of you stink too badly, you're going to get ID'd, but again, it will get you, if you get sick, you will get infections, it will slow you down and potentially kill you. Wet weather gear, this is something that's, you know, in this state, pretty much considered optional. I don't concern myself that much with it. With 7 inches of rain a year, even if I get caught in a bad rainstorm, I got a garbage bag to take care of that. They don't last very long. But there's other parts of the country where it does nothing but rain. Have the appropriate gear. You want to stay dry. You want to stay healthy. Spare ammunition. I advocate, personally, that you run NATO caliber equipment, because that will be stuff that will be easily replenished. You've got those SKSs, you're going to have a hard time keeping those things fed. Oh, I bought cases of ammo. Can you carry a case of ammo? Do you want to carry a case of ammo? Personally, I don't. I'll use equipment that I can fix or replenish later on. Have a poncho. You can do an amazing number of things with a proper poncho. You can make a tent. You can make a sleeping bag. You can make a shelter. You can make a camouflage net. Have a decent poncho. A good one, not just one of those cheap $3 plastic things. Have bungee cords. With bungee cords, you can tie to yourself and to your equipment camouflage in the form of branches, brush, things of this sort. You can strap things down to keep them quiet. You can use them as tourniquets. You can do a number of things with these. Have some decent bungee cords. You can get those packs of them at places like the Price Club very cheaply. Snap links, or what we refer to in the civilian world as carabiners. You want to have a couple of them. They're very useful for a variety of things. I myself have one of those web belts, not web belts, but it's a belt that has a heavy-duty buckle that's made out of nylon. If I have to rappel, I use that belt for rappelling. I've learned through my years of experience how to get away with using one snap link to rappel with by knowing how to wrap and how to use the line around my body as a brake system. Look at your terrain. You may not really need them. In Arizona, I need them. We got a rugged country out here. There's some places in the Midwest where it's not that big of a deal. Chances of you needing to employ it are minimal. It's still not a bad idea to have. There's some camouflage nets, personal camouflage nets that are available. You can get them. You can doll them up. What I've got mine rolled on my ruck. It's held in place by Velcro. I tear the Velcro away. It unrolls downward. And I lay flat and I'm covered. I've modified it, tying burlap to it and spray paint to blend in with the local terrain. Unfortunately, it won't do a whole lot against FLIR, that's the infrared, forward-looking infrared, but against some of the more traditional aspects and during the daylight, it will work just fine. These are minimums, okay? This is stuff that you gotta have. You might want to expand on that if you've got the ability, if you're a big boy, like my friend Andy out there in New Jersey, on Bill. You got a lot of friends in New Jersey, a lot more than you think. Just they wanted me to tell you that. If you're a big guy, you can carry a lot more things. I'm 170 pounds. I got to be real careful on where I'm getting. If you're working with others, if you've gotten a group together, you've figured out where your rally points are going to be if it gets to that point. You've got things cached away. You know you're going to be working as a team. There's some things that you might want to expand upon. Spotting scopes. Spotting scopes are better than binoculars. They're fairly compact, and you can get some of them that are like 36 power to 60 power. That's an awful lot. You'll be able to see things in great detail from far away. Radios. To me, this is a question mark. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on radios. Electromagnetic pulses will toast them. They'll be worthless. And there's not a whole lot you can do with it. You can shield them with various methods. The most effective is lead. A radio wrapped in lead, I'm not real inclined to be lugging around. Again, this is going to be dependent upon terrain. You want to have in your team at least one rope, 120-foot rope, or something else that works very well that, and again, this is beneficial working with professionals. It's 1-inch, what you refer to as tubular webbing. It's nylon that's basically woven. It's flattened out in, as it's a tube that's been flattened out. You can take 120 feet of that. It's as strong, if not stronger, than the equivalent 11-millimeter ropes. And it takes up a lot less room. It's a real good way to go. If you are going to be carrying radios, make sure you have spare batteries. They don't do you any good if the batteries go dead. If you've got the money, get quality night vision. Get the U.S. generation stuff. If you don't have the money, don't waste it on the Soviet stuff. It's not any good. Like I pointed out, if you can't afford it, get the night vision. It'll help you out dramatically. In your team, you want to be able to reach out and touch somebody. You want to make sure at least one guy's got the ability to do that. On a cost-effective basis, Bill has gone into great detail on his 375 H&H Improves. If you can afford it, hey, that's great. That will reach out and put a serious hurt a long ways away. The 50 cals are a trifle excessive. They're heavy. They are real heavy. If you're big and you don't mind lugging one, there are some excellent 50 caliber bolt action rifles that that do some incredible things. But something that we have found that is very cost effective, that is very good out of the box, are the Savage brand model 110 FPs. That's 110 Frank Paul. It's their entry into the police sniper rifle market. We've got three of them. Every one of them will shoot quarter-inch groups at 100 yards out of the box. And you can purchase them for right around $400. And you put a decent set of optics on there, you've got a real nice package that beats the hell out of buying an SKS and spending money and getting one of the silly stocks and the silly bipods and the silly scopes that might get out to 200 yards. I shot a match. We had a fair amount of people. I brought my FN out there. At 500 yards, they were lucky to get on a 5 foot by 5 foot piece of paper. And I kept everything in a 10 zone of the target. I wouldn't own an SKS. You'd want to have some of the tubing, the 1-inch tubular webbing I talked about. You'd like to have about 14 feet of that for the special equipment standpoint to be able to do what's referred to as a Swiss seat in case you had to rappel. If you found yourself in an urban environment and you couldn't go down the stairwell and you had to go out the window, you'd be real glad you had it. In the team, you don't need a lot of these, but there should be at least one shovel, one e-tool. What's referred to as a cat hole, most of you know what it is. I don't think I need to describe it on the air. I think people can get the idea. Something that's optional, and that's going to be photo equipment, especially as you start, if things get to, again, this is if things get to this point and you're working together, you want to be able to take pictures of things. You should all be carrying around cameras now anyhow to be able to take pictures of tanks that are on flat cars, to be able to take pictures of police that are harassing you. It should be standard as it is. It's not a bad idea to have it in your equipment. to be able to document things, because there will come the time when we will reestablish court systems, and documentation is going to be very helpful in making sure that we do it the way it's right. Hand signals. I want Andy in New Jersey to know what I'm talking about when I take my hand flat in a kind of like a karate chop and I point it out at a very prominent object. I want him to know exactly what I'm talking about. And what that means, very simply, is that's a rally point. If down here between the next rally point it gets stupid and we all split up, Andy now knows that that's where I'm going to meet him. Work on hand signals. Get some of the military books. The Ranger Manual is good if you've got prior experience. If you don't, try to locate the more basic manuals, the fundamentals, the very beginning manuals, because it will go into far more detail. Use the military hand signals. If everybody's talking the same lingo with their hands, we'll all be a lot better off. You want some of the basics, like rally point. Freeze. Just make a fist and hold it up. That's extreme danger. Nobody moves. Stop immediately. It's different from halt. Okay? Halt is just hold up your hand, your palm out. Learn these things. Learn what a danger area is. Learn how to signal a danger area. Enemy sighted. A very good one. Well, that's a real easy one. Just point your gun in the direction. You want to be able to do head counts and pace counts and things. Learn these things. I don't need to go into them on detail now, but learn them. They're all in those military manuals. A lot of times you can find those at a large-scale library. Some little tricks of the trade that we were taught. You're crossing what's referred to as a danger area late at night. Don't do it like in the movies, one guy at a time. Everybody lines up. Let's say you're crossing a road, okay? The road's got a high probability of a sentry. It's very dark out. Line up on the road, all, spread it out. Everybody goes across at one time, smoothly, quickly, efficiently. At night, I'm sure you people know, it's hard to see things. And what you do is you catch movement out of the corner of your eye. Now, if you go over one guy at a time, and there is a sentry out there, he might miss the first one or two, but he's going to catch you out of the corner of his eye. It's like, damn, what was that? And he'll start paying attention. If you all do it at once, and he catches out of the corner of his eye, it's too late. He can't do anything about it. Everybody holds still, waits for things to quiet down, reassembles, and moves on. People, these are just some things that we do out here in this state. I gotta be honest, I'm concerned greatly about what's going on. I fully anticipate the start of events very shortly. Again, I believe them to be financial. I believe it will be a rapid descent, fairly rapid. I mean, a year or so before we start seeing the necessary situations develop for them to create the levels of antagonism necessary to pull what they need to pull on a large scale. Thank God for Linda Thompson, that's all I can say. Because if it wasn't for her, we'd all be in the dark. If she didn't say, you better get ready, because I'm going to Washington to kick some booty, and if you don't like it, that's tough. If she didn't do that, we'd all still be frogs in the pot with the slow boil. But because she did that, a lot of us were able to jump out and say, you ain't going to do that. Unfortunately, there's still a large number of people that are sitting in that pot waiting, and they're going to get burned. Now, again, start financially. This is important. You need, like we talked about, you need to look at getting out of the system. Deny them their working capital. Remember fractional reserve. For every dollar you got in there, they create 9. that monies are used against you. Deny them the ability. Get yourself situated. We don't want people acting irrationally or in a panic mode, but in common sense. You do what's necessary. You work efficiently. You don't operate out of fear. What makes sense is a portion of your assets into tangibles. Get the banking system out, get out from under their thumb. Unfortunately, you got a deal in Federal Reserve notes right now. That's the reality until things change. Again, the new currency, reasonable suspicion that they are new contracts, which means probability of devaluation. Now, I don't have a crystal ball, and I can't say that they will, but if we look historically, 100% of the time, when other nations have done this, they have devalued. Some of you heard Bill and I talking about when might they do that? When does it fit with their pagan philosophies? He pointed out March. That was very interesting. March 31st, 1993, Moscow. On the 30th, a ruble was worth a certain amount. On the 31st, the ruble had declined 126,578% overnight. That's an awful lot. The values of the tangible assets, the tangible items that they held in the Soviet Union, they were called chevronets. Those increased dramatically in value during that same time frame. That's why you place a portion in there. When it happens financially, it'll be very quickly. And it's going to catch a lot of people flat-footed. So take your positions now. Okay? It's common sense. Get your insurance and get your bases covered. In line with that, a couple weeks ago I talked to you about an opportunity that Swiss America had for the more savvy individual who recognized the value when it was presented to him. That was that 1909 Philadelphian Mint State 63. Basically for $3,000, that's $2,000 behind Blue Book value. We've got one left. We're going to be closed on Monday. If somebody's been kind of waiting to get that, you best call your broker first thing on Tuesday and get it locked in. Because I got somebody, I think, who I can get it to on Monday, on Tuesday. So, I would encourage you to take advantage of that. And that person is me. But unfortunately, I don't have the funds. I hope to line something up over the weekend. I want one of those very badly, and I'm hoping I can make it happen. So, with these things in mind, we talked some serious stuff tonight, or I talked to you about some serious stuff. We are in serious times. Keep that in mind. New Year's resolutions you all need to make to yourselves is that you are going to get ready. If you are ready, you are going to get more spiritually ready. You are going to get more physically ready. You're going to do it. You got to do it. The time is now. And that's all I can say on that. I don't know what's going to be happening on the next week. I'll be in contact with Bill early on Monday. If he needs me to do this, we will line up. Probably go ahead and line Jeff up. Like I said, I had a lot of positive response. What was very interesting with that is there's people out there that listen to Bill on a regular basis that were amazed at some of the information Jeff was sharing. We understand that the internet was quite abuzz with, who is this guy? How can I get a hold of him? The information's solid, people. The man knows what he's talking about. We're making a difference. Because we are making a difference, the chances of an occurrence on a very negative fashion is much greater. Keep that in mind, but don't let that stop you from doing what you need to do. And that's basically, like Mr. Forrest Gump says, that's all I have to say about that. I encourage you to have a great new year. Be very careful. Again, the holiday season is not over. I would encourage you to not go out on amateur night. That's what we have seen police work. That's what's generally referred to. People who don't drink at all during the year, do it that evening. Expect roadblocks and the rest of it. You don't need the aggravation. You don't need to be away from home just in case. Be careful, people. Pennsylvania people, be especially careful. If you've been associating with somebody who talks too much, disassociate yourself with him. He may be having a problem. I hope, again, to have further hard probable cause information, and then at that stage of the game, we'll give it to Bill, and he'll handle it as he sees fit. But in the meantime, caution is the word. I'm working on some things with a contact in the East that promise to be very intriguing. Once I receive hard copy, people were going to blow a lot of minds with this information. There's some stuff going on in Washington that's not being reported. And if I can, when I get the hard copy, we're going to go to the air with this, and it's going to precipitate a whole bunch of puckered sphincters. Let's put it that way. I'm tired. I'm about ready to run out of satellite time. Not satellite time, but shortwave time. Thank you for your encouragement. I appreciate it greatly. Please, people, do what you got to do. If you've been sitting on the fence, waiting to get your assets covered, do it now. Get it done. You'll be glad you did. Give me a call. Or if you've already got somebody taking care of your needs there, if you've already been talking to somebody, call them at Swiss America, 800-289-2646. As Bill says, do it now. He's right. He's been right. The man's more right than you'll ever know. He's got a lot more information than he will share because it doesn't meet the probable cause standard yet. It's reasonable suspicion. But I tell you what, people, it's getting scary out there. Y'all have a good evening. I hope I haven't ruined your weekend, but at least you can go into it with an open mind and start what you need to do and get take advantage of the holiday discounted shopping and get the products that you need to get. You have a great evening. You have a great weekend. Be careful. Be safe. Get ready. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night.